Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen live on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but we're also streaming live on YouTube, on Twitch, and on X, the Everything app. You can also stream us audio only on the Odyssey radio app, the iHeartRadio app, and the TuneIn radio app. George Ruggiero, still the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app. Exactly. Amen. Right there with you, buddy. Follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good. I guess it's still afternoon. It's just earlier afternoon.
You're technically 1 minute afternoon.
How's it going? I mean, this is just different.
New year, new time, new us.
I don't know about the last one.
I did download the, or I don't know if you call it downloading, but whatever. I updated the software on my Mac, and they were trying to present the new features of whatever the new
iOS or whatever.
Yeah, the new whatever the interface is, and essentially what they've done is they have moved the notifications from the right side of the screen to the middle of the screen.
Wow.
So
that's it sounds very much like what's happening right here. That's big, right?
That's exactly. Big time, buddy.
Exactly. So
same stuff, different place.
Correct. You can also darken your icons.
Oh.
There you go.
I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So there we go. Still joining us on Mondays. He's the maestro of fun and games here in Memphis. I would say he's the host of Rider Than Right Trivia, but he is going to be the host of Rider Than Right Trivia on Mondays. So here's what we're going to do. We're not doing it today. Next week will be MLK Day. We're going to start, I think we said it's going to start in February, right? I think that's what we're thinking.
Or the last Monday this month.
That's it. Last Monday of the month.
It is coming back. It will not take that long of a hiatus, but we're on a short break because we're coming off what was the biggest week of trivia of the year already.
It was awesome.
We had, of course, the final Rider Than Right trivia on the Jeff Calkins Show on Thursday, which was an amazing performance. Jeffrey, great job. And then Saturday was the Tournament of Champions. George was out there with me. We had hundreds of the best trivia players and all the teams there assembled. Should we give a shout out,
yeah,
George,
absolutely,
to the winners? Do you remember the winners we had?
Not a clue.
First place was Mongo sent us. I never could figure out what their connection was, but it was somehow connected to Prince Mongo. Runners up.
So
were,
if Mongo sends you,
that means they're from out of space, I guess.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, so if Mongo was the prince that was promised and he sent you, are you just the messenger of the prince that was promised?
See, this is,
I guess, these are the questions that we needed answers to.
Yes, of course.
On Saturday.
Yeah, is he still with us?
Mongo is still, yeah, hanging around.
That's
yeah.
Great to hear.
You want him to join the show later this week? I'll get him to come in.
Sure.
We've got.
Why not?
We got
third hour.
It can't hurt.
Yeah.
As Stone, the runners up, Stone Cold Jane Austen. They were the runners up.
Oh, that was really, that was a good one. Yeah.
And the Nerd Alliance got third place after a tiebreaker question.
Should we ask Jeffrey? Do we think Jeffrey would know the answer to the tiebreaker?
No, he would not. How close do you think, Jeffrey? Do you think he would have broken the tie and won, maybe?
Because I thought your tiebreakers are usually like a number. They're
a number.
A number question.
It's a very tough one, but it's kind of in your wheelhouse.
That's
right?
Why I'm asking. I'm thinking like he actually might have done.
All right,
there is no Rider Than Right trivia today, but I'll give you the tiebreaker question that was the other day. It was a tough one. Our tiebreaker questions are. Or you've got to make
you design them to be tough
to break the tie. Because they break up. All right, so tell me, how many total hot dogs has Joey Chestnut eaten at Nathan's hot dog eating contest across all of his wins? So we're not counting the times he has lost. How many total hot dogs has he eaten during all of his victories?
All right.
Oh, you can't just be jumping on a computer now.
No, but
we got cameras in here, Jeffrey.
I mean, I could do, well, everyone could use their...
I mean, how many times do you think he won?
I mean, I could do math on paper, so I think he's won.
Yeah, you can do math on paper in a trivia night. Yeah.
I was thinking. You have
40 seconds, pretty much, 39 seconds to answer this question.
Right, so I was thinking he probably averaged 55 dogs in 20 years.
So what that would be, I mean, 10, 10.
So that would be 1,000, 1,100, right?
Your guess is what?
Right, so
1,100.
Feeds 50 for 10 years, that's 500.
Yeah.
So if he eats 50 for 20 years, that's 1,000. And then I'm thinking there's a couple extra years in there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say 1,100 dogs.
Did nobody recruit this man to their tournament of champions?
That's what I'm saying.
The great thing about the tournament of champions, you win one Cerrito Trivia night during the year. So you can win Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week at any of our trivia locations. Go to CerritoTrivia.com. You will automatically qualify for the tournament next January to play for $1,000 cash courtesy of Jack Pearlschick and Phila Memphis. You win, but then you can assemble whatever all-star team you want, right?
There were ringers all over the roster. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
100%.
You see, Jeopardy champions were there. Like, how nobody reached out to you, Jeffrey, I have no idea. The correct answer, so you guessed the number of total hot dogs that Joey Chestnut
has eaten, this is ridiculous.
And all of his wins, not including his losses, at Nathan's Hot Dogs Eating Contest, that was 1,146.
Yeah, because
you were 46 hot dogs off. That's it. That is amazing, Jeffrey.
Because I do remember, because I was there running score.
Yes.
I remember what ended up being the winning number, the winning total.
Yeah, was it? It was.
It was 420.
Yeah, as closest without going over.
He would have demolished this.
He would have. You would have won. Like that. That
I
was mean, like. Joey
Chestnut does hot dogs.
I would consider myself a follower
of Joey Chestnut.
Yes.
Mercy to Betsy. That is amazing.
That's phenomenal.
The other team, there was two teams tied, so one team went with that 400. They won because the other one went over with about 2,000 and something.
So it is Price is Right rules?
It is Price is Right.
Okay. Yes. If both teams go over, whoever is the closest, but yeah, we were trying not to go over initially. Again, the goal is to break a tie on a tie, but my goodness, Jeffrey, you're ready. You're too bad we're not starting Right Than Right Trivia back again today.
He's already locked in.
But sort of brief.
I need to get Twitter back.
Brief hiatus. it will return Right Than Right Trivia in the third hour of the show. Either the last week of January or the first week of February. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated. So let's start right coming up on the program because we have a little bit different show. So CJ Hurt would normally join us during the second hour. He's now going to join us during the first hour. He'll join us next segment. We will get into the list to start the second hour. That's probably where we'll discuss the Tigers and FAU from yesterday. Also, maybe the actual basketball that happened with the Grizzlies, because we're, of course, going to start with the non-basketball and the Grizzlies to start some transfer portal news. Then excited, we're going to have Chris Harrington during hour number two. He's driving through Iowa, so he's going to try to join us because we want to get his thoughts on the Ja Morant situation. So he's going to join us around 1:30. Then we're going to start the second hour. We want to hear your thoughts. That's when we're going to take your phone calls on everything that's happened with Ja Morant and how you feel about it. 901-445-0929. We'll start the third hour with you, the listener. We'll get into some TV timeout, some NFL playoffs, and more. But I still think let's start with...
Recognize that Chris Harrington is joining us today, and the plan is for him to join us every Monday.
Every Monday.
Here on the show. So
well,
We've announced that on Calkins. Yeah, we heard the announcement, but people may not be aware of that. We're going to keep saying it, but he's going to be joining us every week. So it's very awesome, of course. He was on the station every day. He's got his Daily Memphian podcast, and he's going to take some time today on the road to join us, and he's going to join us every Monday to talk a little Grizzlies. I love Chris Harrington's insight, his historical knowledge and present-day knowledge on the NBA and the Grizzlies, so looking forward to that conversation.
No one better to talk to about the Grizzlies, so excited to have Chris join us. Very grateful that he agreed to do that. But I think let's start with some overreactions, and I don't know how serious of an overreaction this was, because we were discussing this on Friday with DeMichael, and ESPN had a big kind of four trade story, but included at the top of the trades was some background and some context. It is possible that the story was updated after DeMichael had read it and the detail paragraph was included. I did not remember seeing the detail, because it was one of those details that I think would stand out. And so I don't want to do the move of, I am 1,000% certain that this paragraph was not included.
Okay.
But I'm pretty confident, because George didn't see it, DeMichael didn't see it, and I didn't see it. And this was right before air. So I thought this was an interesting detail, because I don't know if it had actually come up when the show was airing. League sources told ESPN's Michael C. Wright, no relation, that Morant still hasn't gotten over the suspension because he felt alienated by teammates who were told to leave the star guard alone so he could work through the issues that led to the suspension. In the aftermath, Morant told players around the league and some of his former coaches that he isn't playing for Memphis anymore, according to sources. We also had a additional detail on the Hoops Collective from Tim McMahon. So they spent a good portion of their most recent podcast discussing the Ja Morant side of this. Feedback we got on Ja wasn't any more favorable than the feedback that we got back on Trae Young. The combination of the pain in the ass, injury prone, not that good anymore, and a big contract is a bad one. And so we were kind of discussing on Friday whether or not this is done. And I think the way that I felt from seeing what we saw this weekend to whatnot, I think my overreaction is Ja Morant's not going to play another game for the Memphis Grizzlies.
I mean, is that an overreaction? What?
So that's kind of the question, because we were George has listened to the entire segment. I've listened to bits and pieces. But there was one detail that Tim McMahon would have probably disagreed with my interpretation of events. So my interpretation of events was the information got out there, because I don't think it came from Ja's camp. I thought the information got out there because the Grizzlies wanted it out there. What McMahon said he would clarify is it wasn't as necessary. I think paraphrasing him is, it was not a calculated decision by the Grizzlies of to leak this news and have that be the story. It was more of, hey, the news was getting out, and so they were asked about it, and for the first time they have publicly acknowledged they were entertaining trade offers, because up until this point, they have never done that.
Okay, but this weekend, right? So this weekend, and we'll talk about the NFL games later. I mean, what an amazing actual sports were happening. But locally, like from Friday until today, like I'm reading the Daily Memphian yesterday, and whether it's Calkins or Harrington, it's like now a matter of fact that this trade is happening. And when it felt like Friday, okay, they're going to possibly trade him. But like it is a matter of time now. That's where we're at, right? We're looking at Ja is going to be traded. There is no scenario. And we'll ask Chris Harrington about it later. But like, everybody's acting like he is getting traded, that is now a fact, not speculation. The fact is that Ja is going to get traded before the deadline, which is February 5th. Like that was not what we were saying on Friday on this radio station.
That is the way that it feels. So,
but that's how it's being like, written down by respected people. That feels like it's like this is the end of the Ja era is happening. It's just going to be, when is it going to happen?
I think the only caveat I would say is that interpretation makes it seem like they at least have the framework of a deal that they would be willing to accept. Deals can fall through.
Yeah.
But what seems obvious to me at this point is I don't think they would have gone through with the way that they were discussing it, the way that they on and off the record, the way they were discussing. If they thought there was a reasonable chance, even if it was not the likeliest or not the most likely.
Right.
But if they thought it was a realistic possibility, hey, we do not get a deal done, and then we're going to have to do this awkward, all right, well, we're still going to try to move you this summer, but we didn't get a deal done. Like, let's play out the season. Because I mentioned to DeMichael, remember when Mike Conley, when they announced they were moving Mike and Mark? They moved Mark first, and then we got to the weird trade deadline. I think they were in Utah, and they told Mike, like, hey, we're going to move you, but it ends up not happening.
Yeah.
And Mike ends up playing out the rest of the season. I don't think that's a possibility here. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, there's also two different circumstances there where they were trying to do right by Mike, and, you know, Mike wanted to move on because the Grizzlies wanted to move on. Whereas this one, it's a little murkier. Like, does Ja still want to be here? Like, he's not requested a trade. It's not like the Grizzlies are trying to completely tear it down. And
but,
so,
but what was the thing you were just saying about how he said he's not playing for Memphis anymore? Like, what was that? What was that sourcing on that? When did he say that?
So Ja has not. So that is
Ja.
Michael
C. Wright
from Friday. This is all like I'll read it again.
And a lot of this is speculation, but
correct. Well, it's. I would say it's more.
But this is following his suspension.
I'd say it's more substantiated rumor.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
We'll get to the NBA dirt sheets.
Leaks,
I love them.
Exactly. Leaks. I am a Meltzer guy. I'm a Bruce Pritchard guy, so I find myself saying FDM because that was always the tagline. But I respect Dave Meltzer. League sources told ESPN's Michael C. Wright that Morant still hasn't gotten over the suspension because he felt alienated by teammates who were told to leave the star guard alone so he could work through the issues that led to the suspension. In the aftermath, Morant told players around the league and some of his former coaches that he isn't playing for Memphis anymore, according to sources.
So the idea is that there is the scuttlebutt that their word is went around the league that Ja's telling people he ain't playing. But nobody who's actually heard it has been on record to say we don't know their names. But
and it also feels like the timeline's unclear.
Right. So that how do we like? I'm still. It's tough.
How did we get here?
Right. It's how did we get here? But also, like, I can't. The current like stretch that we're in is like it is very uncomfortable. More so than it is even unfortunate. Like what we're supposed to like. Ja's supposed to just remain on the team for this Germany trip. Because he's going to take pictures. He's like the team has landed in Germany today, and we're a week away from what's supposed to be the biggest celebration day in Memphis, and now we could be a week away from one of the worst moments in Grizzlies history as far as transactional.
It's obviously a loaded question. I think we could probably spend an entire 3 hours on the one question of how did we get here. I think
could they have been stopped? I mean, if it goes back to the suspension. Like, what are we doing here? Are they picking the coach over the player? And that is something that, and I know everybody pushes back on that, but if you go and you talk to the people on the street, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to the people out there. Is like, did you do enough?
That's why. So
did you make John happy?
There was conflicting reports, but I believe this to be true. They've already picked the player over the coach. In the end,
they're playing the coach over the player right now.
They picked John Morant over Taylor Jenkins. Like in the end, they have before. So
but that was that was made more sense, right?
They were free falling.
But they
had to push some button.
But and Taylor, that's what you do in the NBA. And Jenkins had been here for a long time and was not. He had time.
I think at the time of his firing, he was like the third most tenured NBA coach in like 6 years.
So he had time to prove himself and be successful, and the team wasn't under. So that made sense. But what doesn't make sense is hiring a guy from outside the NBA who's never coached in the NBA before to be your head coach, whether or not Ja approved it or not, because it's not like Ja was pushing for it. Like, that's what I was always...
He certainly... There was not... I missed the campaign.
Yeah, he wasn't saying, he's got to be here. I want him to be... No, he's probably... Somebody asked him, would you be cool with that? He's like, sure, yeah, whatever, all right. But would he have said that about anybody else who would have been a better option as the head coach of the Grizzlies? Yes. Because come February 5th, Isolo's still going to be the coach, and Ja's not going to be here, or at least that's what it's looking like. And to the fans, that is not acceptable.
So I guess
could you have made a change? Could you have made a change? I mean, so before you leak out the information, you got to trade Ja. Could you not say we're with you, Ja? You're right. This was a mistake. Let's get us a different coach in here.
I don't know if this is a plot of a book or whatnot, like. I guess I would make this case, and you'll see if you buy it.
All right.
How I would, on January the 12th, answer your question of how did we get here?
Yeah.
The way that I would answer it is, I understand all the context and all the murkiness and some of the unsavory stuff. I think we simply got here because they cannot count on him to play basketball games anymore. I think you cannot pay somebody as much money as they are paying to essentially be a part-time player. They don't have enough around it to where, like, they're not afforded the luxury of, all right, Kawhi wants to play 35 games. We'll see him in the playoffs. Like, they don't have that opportunity. I really think, like, yes, there has been a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and some of it I think is their fault that they'll never acknowledge. Like, there was enabling and whatnot. But I really do believe the reason we are at the point which we are now, which is we don't think he's going to play for the Grizzlies anymore, I think it is a direct result of you cannot depend on him to play.
Is part of that, though, what you're saying? If he is behind the scenes telling his colleagues in the NBA that he ain't playing for Memphis anymore, that you're not trying to keep him or make him happy in some type of a way. Like, is part of the problem? He's saying that, but if you made a coaching change, that could easily change his attitude. And he's playing because the issue is he had that conflict with the coach. It sounds like it from the reporting that you're mentioning. He had an issue with the coach, and he got suspended. He didn't like that.
Yep.
And because you sided with the coach in that situation, which is fair, right? Like, you have to in some way.
I
he didn't play that game.
Was,
we all watched that game
I
and saw what happened. But
does it change
he went
your,
out there and didn't do anything. But
does it change your opinion? I think Jaren got called out in the same meeting, and Jaren didn't throw a hissy fit. Jaren didn't quite quit in a what we would call a national TV game.
I mean,
there's
been a lot of games he hasn't shown up this year, but that's a different
topic.
But,
like, he wasn't, like, standing around, like, clearly making a scene. You know what I mean?
You have a player with Ja that he's got his off-the-court issues and mood, and that stuff you can overlook when he is playing and every game and trying his best and is having awesome dunks. And you can overlook that stuff. So, yes, he has not been playing, and he has not been playing to his potential. And that makes him more tradable. But, like, could he have been playing more? Would he have been playing more? Would he have been more motivated to play more if the organization went to Ja and was like, hey, all right, you're right. We might have made a mistake with this coach. Is there something else we can do? What can we do to make this better? So I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but it felt like initially I'm not letting Zach Kleiman off the hook. This hire was an awful hire for the head coach for the Grizzlies right now. This is a terrible, terrible hire because we're going to end up losing Ja Morant. So there's no other way to look at it. That this is the guy. If it's the guy's coaching style, if they don't mesh, or if he doesn't like the fact that he's being coached by somebody international, I don't care what the reason is that Ja does not like the guy. But this was not the right hire for this time for this player. And what's going to happen is that we're going to end up losing Ja, and this coach is not. He's not going to be around. He's just not going to be around.
No, because
it's not worth it.
I guess
it was the wrong hire. I don't know who you could have gotten. There's other available coaches, and you could have tried for them.
I think
Ja probably would have approved them as well.
That's probably the case. I don't think that's exclusively the case. I think what it's fair to say is, of the guys the Grizzlies could have hired, because I don't think they probably were getting Brown.
But we don't know.
I don't think they're getting Malone. But I'm saying, let's say they... My bigger problem was they didn't run a coaching search.
Right.
Like, they just did
That's what I'm saying, where you messed up here, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, had they run a coaching search, yeah, maybe they wind up with an assistant and you're having to go, like, who is that guy?
But Taylor Jenkins was the same.
Correct.
Was the same way.
Mark Dagno, who just won the NBA championship, was the same thing. Like, I think
I don't have a problem with Isolo because I didn't know who he was before they brought him in as an assistant that's not my problem with him, is that he was never a head coach in the NBA and you were making a change for a guy that just was obvious. And I'm not saying, oh, he needed a tough nose coach that knows that. He didn't need that. He just needed somebody who knew what it took to be successful in the NBA. That's
probably
what the Grizzlies needed, a coach that knew what it was to be successful in the NBA, because it's a roster of players who still do not know how to do that, to come together night by night and what it takes to be successful. There's been periods, the Ja and Jaren have been great, but they have never gone from start to finish of a season where everything flowed the way it was supposed to flow.
No, the closest it ever was the 21-22 season where Ja ends up, I think, playing 68 games maybe. He finished his second team All-NBA. It's the first time they win the division. They finish second in the West. They beat the Timberwolves, and then they lose to the Warriors in six. The year that the Warriors win the championship. That's the closest thing we ever saw to it. I think that was year three of Ja.
Yeah. I mean, I hate.
No, that's year two, right? Because
you've got
Ja's first year is 1920.
Well, then you got
No, it's year three. It was 1920. Then 2021 was the year they played the Jazz. That was like the half. Remember the half years of some people had fans, some people didn't. So they lose to the Jazz in the first round and then the next year. So that was year three. So we're talking about, it's been a while.
And so
for where we're at now in a big part of this conversation, even in that year, he only played 57 games.
Yeah. So in a year where he made second team All-NBA, he wouldn't have actually if they would have had
the 65
the
game
65
rule.
Game rule, he wouldn't even have made it.
Right.
To that point, he also only would have made that one singular time in his career, and that would have been his rookie season where he played 67.
So,
but again, that stuff is more tolerable if he's playing, he's playing at that NBA All-Star
level. Correct. I think the larger point is maybe we might be in a different discussion where Ja's played what before whatever before Friday. He had basically played half the games. If Ja in those games would have played at the level that he has, this might be a different conversation. It was the factoring, I think it was factoring in the inability to play with the hasn't played particularly well. I mean, he had the Philly game. I actually thought he was pretty good in that Bucks game.
He wasn't bad. He was more of a facilitator, but he was still solid.
He's had some moments, but like for the most part, he's had statistically his worst year of his career. So it's you are factoring in he is not the same player and he's not available.
Right. But I mean, and I'm not excusing Ja for anything, but the way it works in the NBA is like it's a player's league and you got to figure out what's going on. You know, you've got to work with your players. And I wonder, because Kleiman's made some great draft picks, he's made a lot of selections, but there's a lot of elements to this job, and it's managing the talent. And knowing what is best for the talent and to be successful.
Well, this is his first job.
Right. Handing the keys over to somebody with no NBA experience to be your head coach in a situation like this was just a mistake. And it's not something I did not say over the summer. I've been saying hate being right about it.
No, I'm with you on that. I think
we would have a different outcome. Potentially, it would have been a better chance of success if a different person was the coach. We wouldn't have had a December suspension, which is when everything started snowballing, whether you believe those reports or not. I mean, nothing has been the same since that.
Okay, that's
December,
a different question, though.
But since that December suspension, we possibly would not have had that if there was a different coach.
He had not been great. Issue, I will say this, though, because, all right, let's play out your premise. If the halftime calling out doesn't happen, we don't get the suspension, and he'd still been up and down moody. And I do think...
Mm-hmm. But the moody, like, you can deal with it if the on-court we're getting what we want from the superstar, the best player in the history of the Memphis Grizzlies.
I think I can probably get there with you because I think part of the frustration and another part of the reason why we're here is the Grizzlies think he should be playing, and when it was left up to him, he made the decision not to play. And I think that's probably different with a different coach.
Could have been. Yeah. And I mean, there could have been a whole different situation that happened at a different point. But also, like, if you brought in a coach that, and I'm not saying Ja does not respect Isolo, but like Isolo does not have the resume and the credentials to back up like what he's saying, you know, it works, right? You don't know because we haven't seen it. Like, he's new to this. So like if he's trying to be, put his foot down and say, this is what we're doing because we know this is going to work. He doesn't know that. But if it's another coach doing that with NBA experience, like it just, Ja, at least it's easier to side with the coach in that situation for the team, for the fans. Because right now, I'm telling you, we're out there. George, you were with it. We were talking to people on Saturday, the tournament champions, hundreds of Memphians and Grizzlies fans were like, you talk to the people. They're upset at the coach. Because it does feel like the Grizzlies are not picking the coach over this, but like it's going to be, could this have been different if you went?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously always going to be frustration with the coach because the record is what it is. I don't know if you gave this team to Spoelstra. I mean, in general, I think Spoelstra does the most with the least. That's my personal preference.
I believe that to be the case.
I think he's the best coach. I'm not sure the record's a whole lot different because I think the record has been completely dictated by injuries. You could talk me into maybe a game or
sure.
two, but I do think one of the other frustrations was part of this idea was going to be Isolo believes in Edie when Jenkins and the other staff did not, or at least someone on the staff didn't believe that the way that Edie would be deployed would be useful.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
Again, that one's always been unclear to me, but it's very obvious when Isolo got the job, they made a clear change, which is we're playing this guy.
And whether, for sure, yeah.
Whether that was dictated from on high, whether or not that was Isolo believed in him, we've seen.
But, you know, whether Jenkins did or not, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like another coach could have as
correct.
Well. You know, another yeah.
correct. What we did see though is Isolo has kind of doubled down on he believes in Edie, but we never really got to see Edie and Ja, and like part of the
right.
whole. Like, so I do think part of
this would have been amazing.
Right. And we kind of knew, all right, Edie's not playing early. Hey, weather this storm, because it's going to be a lot of the same kind of thing where Ja's not going to have maybe the best sparring partner, if you will. Like, can you just weather that storm? Well, they didn't.
Right.
And by the time we actually got Edie back with Ja, Ja gets hurt 5.5 minutes into the game.
Like, right. Yeah. So, yeah, we don't have to keep talking about it, but the coaching part, obviously, we're going to keep talking about Ja until, because he's going to get traded, and is what it seems like. That's what has surprised me again. Like, my Sunday, I was very frustrated. I was like, this is for real happening now, but the way you're reading these reports, like, there's just no way back out of this now. Like, it's got, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. Ja is getting traded, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing for, like, to have your self-imposed deadline that they now have. Like, the trade deadline's coming up on February 5th.
They're hopeful that the deadline will increase the offer, but I don't know.
It can help you or it can hurt you.
You know what I think is, before we take a break and we talk about it with CJ, this is one of those interesting, and maybe it's just because I'm at the point where I'm a dad and my friends are dads with younger kids.
Yeah.
This feels like one of the actual few trades out there where I think there's a lot of dads out there that are kind of like, yeah, it's about time, but telling their kids, because like if you tell your kids like, Ja's getting traded, they're gonna be like asking the obvious question, like, why?
Oh, I told my daughter this weekend, and she's like, why? He is the best player on the Grizzlies.
Like, there's gonna be the Venn diagram of the dads that are upset and the kids that are upset are basically gonna be two circles. But that's always just a weird dynamic, like when you're going to just try to, like,
you can't, like, you go,
like, well,
I go pick my daughter up from school and, like, the Ja's face on the backpacks. I mean, this is not just any transaction, right? And the toughest trades in Grizzlies history, probably to this point, the toughest one was Shane Battier. And he did not have, like, an impact on the team like this, or the celebrity of the Ja Morant. People didn't have Shane Battier's face on their backpack. They just, everybody loved Shane.
Yeah.
But at least now, like, the kids are going to be crushed over this. This is going to be a tough moment for the children of the city. I that is really who is going to be hit the hardest, and they're going to be hit at a time where, you know, we always talk about the Tigers not having young fans, right, and growing your fan base, and the kids are going to lose their favorite player here in the next few days. Again, but we're getting prepared for it, right? We're going to be able to, we might need to have a seminar, how to tell your kids Ja is being traded.
Yeah, I mean, here's a TED Talk. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program next. We'll get his thoughts on the future of Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. Stick around, you'll listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt is a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, do you think we are going to see Ja Morant suit up for the Grizzlies ever again?
I would think so. Taking calls doesn't mean necessarily like shopping him, does it? Like, I don't know. And I'm not trying to get into to be a dweeb who's into the semantics, but at one point in time it was, hey, don't even call and ask him because we're not listening. Now it's, hey, we're listening, but we still don't want to just trade him. But if there's an offer out there that's good enough, we'll do what need be done. So I took that as meaning, hey, it's a step closer to the potential of a trade or being open to a trade, but that doesn't mean that they're shopping him and looking to trade him. And people got to be professional in these situations, the franchise and the player. So you got to go out there, and if you still sign with that team, I don't think Ja requested a trade. If it is, hey, it's not working, well then go out there, and if you're Ja Morant, and make it work. Find a way to make it work. Find a way to stay healthy, stay on the court, and get a couple of wins and give fans a little bit of hope that, hey, there's some good left in this season, and this is a franchise that is doing the right thing and continuing to build around you.
So how is the weather over there in Germany, CJ? Was the flight good? How was the flight?
Kevin, you know, I ain't been to Germany since I left Germany, man. You know, I don't know. They didn't send me. But I hear everybody got over there. They landed. I think it's snowing. If I heard correctly, okay. I think it's snowing. They hopped off the plane in some snow. And I'm just going to assume, being in Memphis, Tennessee, not Memphis, Egypt, I'm assuming that they're all really, really excited over there.
So, yeah, so the team is there. You're not there. You did not travel with the Grizzlies.
Believe it or not, they did not let me travel.
The historic game taking place at Uber Arena there in Berlin.
Did they fly to Berlin?
Yeah, I mean, their game's happening in Berlin on Thursday, right? It's middle of the daytime? Is it going to be when the show's on?
Yes, so pregame will be at 1... I beg your pardon. Pregame will be at 12:30, so the Jeffrey Wright and Company show on Thursday will be 30 minutes, and then Eric will have tip-off at 1.
So, I mean, John made the flight to Germany, right? So you're expecting him to play, CJ, in Germany?
That's me. Again, professionalism dictates that you go out there and play, and this is the whole reason they're over there, is because you're on the team. John Morant is on the team, and John Morant has reached a status where he is nearing global stardom. And you just look at the stuff that took place this summer as he went on that Asia tour. It was like, oh my gosh, Ja, I know Ja's big over here. That makes sense. Big over here being big in Memphis. And when I go out of town, everybody's got these stories. Oh, I was in this place or I was in that place. I was in Houston about 4 years ago in 2021, 5 years ago now in 2021. And there were way more Ja Morant jerseys walking about the streets of Houston than I expected to see. And then you factor in the shoe sale component of it, where Ja has one of, if not the hottest sneaker out right now. You factor all of that in there, you've got a global star being made here. So if you go overseas and you don't play in Germany and you don't play in London, I think that your stardom takes a bit of a hit. And so I would expect Ja, I think that with just that piece of it alone is enough for Ja to say, all right, I'm over here. Let me go ahead and play and then figure it out when they get back to the States, if there's any sort of continued friction.
Yeah, but
I expect them to play.
I mean, Ja's already big in Germantown, and now he's going to, okay, will he be big in Germany by the end of the week, right? Like maybe. But what it could be, like, Jeffrey, do you think this is just so fascinating that this could be his last couple of games being played in Germany wearing a Grizzly? It's almost as bizarre as like the Allen Iverson era,
yeah.
Like only was on the road.
Road
like
games,
he never
yeah,
played
it. We never saw him home.
The
yeah.
Ja era is going to end in Germany, possibly.
Yeah, there's a potential. That's crazy.
I guess this is a question because this is what Kevin and I were discussing. I'd like to hear your thoughts, CJ. We talked about it because, you know, where the actual status is could somewhat be open to interpretation. But what we do know, as you laid out earlier in the segment, we've gone from, I believe Zach Kleiman's official statement was, it is nothing more than a fantasy or wish fulfillment of thinking that he's available, to, yeah, we're taking calls. What do you think has happened that has changed that thought process?
Man, this is a business of winning, man. And you've got to win. The highlights are great. The game winning moments are cool. The reaching out to the community and being personable, being charismatic, being one of the most recognizable celebrities to ever come through Memphis. All of that is great. Don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, this is a business about winning, and you've got to be winning games. That is, when it's all said and done, everything else is extra. You take care of the winning, and you'll get taken care of. And so for the Grizzlies as a franchise, I think that the past three seasons, for a myriad of reasons, have been really tough to swallow from a win-loss standpoint. They won 48 games last season. They won 51 the year before that was the injury riddle season. The year before that one, they won like 51, and the year before that they won 56. So they were 3 or 4 years ago, they were on the upswing. They were winning 50 plus games. They had the best home record in the NBA. They were back-to-back two seeds, and then it's been loss after loss after loss. And when you're losing like that, you immediately start looking at, okay, what can we do? What can we do to get better? because we can't keep trotting out the same thing. We have to make changes, and we've made changes on the fringe where it might be time to make some bigger changes. And so when time comes to make bigger changes, you look at the coaching, you look at the star players, man. And I think that's what's happened. It's been a bit too much losing going on this season. And they realize that, hey, we're not a playoff team, and we're battling for that play-in spot as well. Something's got to change if we're going to the Grizzlies as a franchise, if we're going to get back to being a consistent playoff team. And so I think that's been the thing that's changed the most.
And the decision that many of the fans are going to see is that you pointed it, you just said it, like they're going to look at the coach and you look at the star player. And if the star player gets moved, it looks like you're picking the coach over the star player. And in this situation, you're picking a coach who has no NBA experience prior to this season as a head coach, a guy who I don't see the kids walking around the city with stickers of Isolo on their backpacks. It's John Morant's face that's there. He's the face of the franchise. He's the guy that sells the tickets. And if Ja gets moved, are you not afraid that the fan base and the young fan base especially is going to feel like that they picked this coach over the star player?
I will caution against that. When I was saying coach, I was talking about Taylor Jenkins, right? That coach has been here for a while, and that they made the decision to move on from him. I don't think that necessarily moving Ja means Isolo is safe. We've seen this franchise let go of coaches after 1 year. Like, we saw that recently with J.B. Bickerstaff, if I recall correctly. So
they even let him do exit interviews.
Yeah, let him do exit interviews and then ship them out or let him go the next day. So it's I get how that thought might come into the front of your mind, but don't think about it like that. Because Ja's gone doesn't mean that Isolo is safe here. But you know, he could be. I don't think it's either or. I think it's always also and with this franchise where, hey, we got this. Can we also do that? And can we take this step? You know? And so if moving Ja is the first part of the step to getting back to being a playoff caliber team, then so be it. They'll make that move. But again, I don't think that they necessarily want to trade Ja. I don't think Ja wants to be traded. I think everybody wants to make this work right here. But yo, how many games are you gonna have to sit down and watch them lose before you sit there and say, okay, well, why are we losing? Could it be in part because we got this guy who's making all this money who's not playing? Is there some durability issues? Well, what can we do? What have we done? What needs to be done so we can get back to playing winning basketball consistently?
I appreciate your optimism, but because I came in this morning after reading what I've read and seen the news that I've seen this weekend, I feel like this is done. It's just a matter of time of when Ja's going to get traded. That's what I feel like, but it sounds like you feel like there's still a chance that the Grizzlies are going to keep him. I don't know if you're in denial or if we're in two different media zones on the stuff that we're seeing here, but like I feel like I know media is so, you know, fragmented on what we're reading and what we're following, but I do know one thing, that you're inside FedEx Forum for your job, so maybe you know something we don't know. Can you tell us, like, there's something?
I guarantee you I don't know anything you know. I am inside FedEx Forum, and that makes John Morant my coworker, so I can't be out here recklessly speculating about coworkers losing their jobs.
Well, he's still going to have a job.
I just can't do that.
Right.
I can't be out here bidding coworkers' businesses out here in the streets like that, man. No, whatever happens, wish the best for everybody involved sincerely. But again, when we talk about these things, these athletes, these coaches, these front offices, these general managers, it all comes back to, hey, how much have you won? One. And two, when was the last time you won? What have you done for me lately? Because we'll forget that in a heartbeat. John Harbaugh just got fired. John Harbaugh, 18 years in NFL, just got fired from his job. 19 years, maybe, and with the Ravens, just got let go. And if Mike Tomlin had lost that game to John Harbaugh, if that field goal kicker for the Ravens had made that kick, Mike Tomlin very possibly could have been up out of Pittsburgh as well. Mike Tomlin go out there and lay an egg tonight, having never had a losing season, having a Super Bowl championship, having gotten to AFC conference championships, Mike Tomlin could very easily be up out of Pittsburgh, and it's all because he hadn't won lately. That's what this all boils down to. It is not necessarily, I love that we get into the emotional component of it, having, and none of us know the emotional or the mental capacity that the franchise has or the player or the player has for the franchise. I love when we get into that, but when you look at it, the reality of the situation is, hey, how much are you winning? How much have you won? And how much are you winning right now? Those are the things I think that have driven the front office to begin to listen to calls for Ja Morant.
But all of your examples just now were coaches they were talking about. But
I was gonna ask you this.
Yeah, I can give some players also, but go ahead.
But what I was gonna ask you is Kevin mentioned this, and I don't really know if I have a great answer, so I'll ask you. Do you think it was a mistake to suspend Ja Morant after the Laker game?
Oh, man. I don't know. For me personally, you can't have player going at coach in that sort of a way publicly. So if I was running a franchise, I'd be A-okay with something like that being done, right? Like, I'm very Pat Riley in that sort of mentality where, hey, no, the franchise is the franchise. You're not bigger than the franchise. And that felt like a superstar player trying to assert himself as bigger than the coach, the team, and the franchise in that moment. But this, even if you don't suspend Ja Morant in that moment, if you're telling me you don't suspend Ja Morant and Ja is healthier and plays more and there are more wins, then I'd say, yeah, it was the wrong decision to suspend him. But if you tell me, hey, you don't suspend Ja Morant, doesn't play any more games, and the team record is basically what it is right now, then no, it's fine. It is all about winning and losing. The Grizzlies have a much better chance of winning. Ja Morant gives this team right now, is currently constructed, the best chance of winning, and they just aren't doing that right now.
I mean, it gives them the best chance of everything. Like, give them the best chance of selling merchandise, of selling tickets, on getting national TV games. Everything that you, all the success is tied into this guy.
None of that. Yeah. I don't care. None of that. Are you winning? Because if you win, you get that stuff also. Right? You don't have to just have a superstar who is a walking highlight machine.
Sure, but how often are you going to win?
If you're, that's
it's hard to win. It's hard to win. So you might as well have a fun star on your team.
Not win and just have fun players? What are we talking about? Gonna... I mean, you can't be – no. The name of the game is to win. The name of the game is not to have fun. You have fun winning. The name of the game is not to be exciting.
But if you have a 20-win season with Ja Morant on your team, I would rather have than a 20-win season without Ja Morant on the team.
How about we avoid a 20-win season altogether?
Oh, that would be great, but it's not easy.
I think the other problem, though, is in Kevin's world is I don't think it's an either-or. Like, I don't think you're going to get a 20-win season with Ja Morant having fun, playing with joy, being a human highlight reel. Like, I think in that case scenario, like, I do think a large...
You think it's this season we're currently experiencing, which has not been that fun. But you could go to the game. The people went to the game the past week. The Grizzlies had like 5 home games in 7 days or whatever. Like, you went to those games. There was a chance you were going to see Ja Morant and have that happen.
Yeah, but I think
if he's not on the team, there's no chance of it happening.
I think to CJ's point, I do think part of the story of the year, the wins and the losing and Ja's attitudes, like, I think it's all related.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But what's the best case scenario, CJ? So Ja gets traded. Like, what for the rest of the season? You're talking. You've got the. This team without Ja could still make the play-in game? We don't know the pieces they're going to get back, but we've seen the Trae Young trade last week, and it doesn't look like it's going to be game-changing pieces you get back for Ja Morant, probably, too. They probably should just trade straight up Trae Young for Ja.
I mean, honestly, it seems like at this point, you tell me if you disagree, CJ, it almost seems like salary matches and you're hoping for a pick.
Yeah, I guess, like, I can't get into the weeds of that because I don't understand this damn NBA salary cap, man. Like, you got to be a real capologist, and I just don't follow it like that. But, yeah, you say, okay, salary matches in a first-round pick. Desmond Bain went for 4 picks. I'll throw that out there to remind some people about that.
I think Bane had more trade value.
Okay. Well, listen.
Let me state for the record. I think the same things about the salary cap that you do. There have been so many trades in the last 2 years where I was like, I was under the impression right. that doesn't work.
Doesn't match.
That doesn't work. And then you find out like, well, there was this exception, that exception. It's like, right. All right. Well, I didn't know I had footnotes. Like I didn't know how to see the.
Gotta read the footnotes. Yeah, epilogue, all of that.
Yeah, I didn't know how to go to the back of the works cited page to see all the notes.
I think it's also the complicatedness of the salary cap, but also it is. I don't think we're in a certain era of trends. Like you're watching these big trades from the Luka trade. To the Trae Young trade, to the Bane trade. You put all three of those trades next to each other. None of them make sense to explain to somebody how the NBA is currently trading players.
I think that is a good point. I think
it makes sense.
Do you think those three trades make sense next to each other? The Trae Young trade, the Bane trade, and the Luka trade? It makes no sense.
I think it makes sense from, hey, we know what these contracts are going to start looking like. You've got Jaylen Brown up in Boston, who I do believe is about to start making, either Brown or Tatum, somebody correct me. I think they're one of them, maybe both of them, are about to start making around $70 million a year.
And
you got the contract extensions, you're looking around and you're saying, okay, Trae Young is going to get around $70 million a year. And that's going to eat up so much of our cap. If we want to go out there and build a full roster with him on roster, I'm just using Trae Young as an example, we are going to have to go into the tax. And with Trae on the roster making the money that Trae Young is making, if we have to go into the luxury tax, what are we going to be? Going into the luxury tax, God forbid you go into the second apron. We can't go into the second apron and be a second round playoff team. We can't go into the second apron and be out in the first round. Going to luxury tax and be a play-in team. So when you look at the Mavericks' decision to hop off of Luka, although they should have got more for Luka, when you look into the Hawks' decision to move on from Trae, it's because those players were due an extension and the teams they were on did not want to pay them all of that money and eat up all of that cap because they didn't feel like the team was going to be a consistent NBA Finals contending type of team with a roster that warranted something like that. So that's what makes sense about it. Bane doesn't do that. Bane isn't on that type of a trajectory to be paid. So you can bring Bane in as a quality piece and then have him be one of the pieces that are around your superstar and your star players. So I think that's what makes sense. When they decided, the NBA did, hey, we're tired of teams just going out there, disregarding, blowing by the luxury tax, the Warriors and the Heat, I think immediately come to mind for me. We've got to make the aprons more punitive. When they did that, well, now it is, okay, well, how do we build now? And NBA front offices, I do believe, are still trying to adjust to that and find the best way to build.
I mean, how poetic that it's coming down, that this conversation is happening the week that Bane is facing the Grizzlies right here in Germany.
So and got, Franz Wagner is making his debut in Germany.
Has there ever been, or we have more history that could happen. There's never been an NBA player ever traded while in Germany playing for their team. So that could happen as well. What if it gets traded?
I don't think there's ever been a player traded while in Germany.
In Europe at all. The entire continent we're talking about. This could.
I would doubt that would happen. Like again, he's no, the I think whole that would be that the Grizzlies are over there.
Right, but like the end of the trip. That's part of the reason. But I mean, we're counting down the days, and if it wasn't for this Germany trip, we would possibly be moving quicker, but we could be looking at February 5th. We could have a whole more month almost of John Morant. Because, I mean, the trade deadline is still a little bit away.
And you got him under contract till what, 2029?
So you go
2028 or 2029.
So he has this season plus two additional more.
Okay.
I love your optimism. I love it. Like, I'm saying, I see is like, this is, I'm starting to come to terms.